Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014. With me today, I have my awesome writing and chatting buddies, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I am doing well.
That is superfluidously fantastic. That actually hurt to say.
Whoa, it hurt to hear.
Yeah. I hope everyone has enough bandwidth for that word to get through.
Yeah, jeez.
Good. Yeah. Boy, howdy. yeah. Anyhow, I thought we'd start today with this report that's coming out of China about new iPads. And we've had rumors that Apple's going to hold a media event in October for new iPads, but that's been...
Yeah, but to be fair, that's only because that's what Apple's done, like, every year with the iPads.
Right, but...
Except for the first year.
Yeah.
Because they were announced in February and shipped in April.
That's the two shipped in April, too, because, like, it was released on Friday, and then you could get one on Saturday, but then Sunday was Easter, so it was a holiday, and a bunch of places were closed.
Right. So it's what they've done for the last three cycles.
Yeah. It's been a separate
So not much of a shock.
No. Sources familiar with the matter have, in fact, confirmed to me that there is a new iPad on the way.
Well, there you go. Now, the October thing, there had been reports that Apple was going to hold a media event, and we have a Jim Dalrymple nope on that.
Yeah, but, the last round of that got noped.
Right, but now we have this new thing from sources out of China saying that there's a second generation iPad Air coming out in October. But that the next generation iPad mini isn't coming until, what is it, after the first of the year?
Yeah, and that's where I get a little fuzzy on this whole piece because now, all right, so on the one hand, Apple is not going to release a new iPad mini if for some reason the new iPad mini is not ready.
Right.
It's what Apple does. On the other hand, this would be the first time that Apple has let 15 months go for an iOS product design, at least since we moved to the fall schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also be the first time that Apple has allowed a Christmas to go by without a new iPad or iPhone. Well, in this case, it's iPad, but without a new iOS mobile device being new for the holidays.
And let's just point out that the Mini, by virtue of its price point, for some people makes a much more attractive Christmas gift than a full-on iPad Air.
Yes, it does. And not only that, the thing, you know, the way Apple is set up iPad and iPhone is they share a lot of stuff, like processors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I find it this report came from the Commerce Times, which is a Chinese language site. They were citing sources within Apple's supply chain. As we've discussed many times, it's always dangerous, as Tim Cook also reminded us, it's always dangerous to draw conclusions from any particular point in Apple's supply chain because it's so complex. And on the one hand, we've got Apple's going to update the iPad Air in October. Of course Apple is. And on the other hand, we've got iPad Mini not until 2015 and then the 12.9-inch iPad coming – being ramped up in the second quarter of 2015, and I don't, I'm not buying the delay on the Mini.
I'm with you. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either for a number of reasons, but primarily because if there were some reason that Apple were having trouble, some sort of manufacturing issue with the Mini, which is the only thing I can think of that would be what would delay it until next year. If they were having this kind of issue, Apple is the only company I think of that might have the resources to be able to write this pronto. And I know that that's no small undertaking. And I know a lot about, I know more than a lot of people know about supply chain, because the place where Mr. Kelly worked before the place he works now used to do a lot of consulting for companies to help get supply chain stuff in order. They taught a lot of, Toyota production methods, and, you know, TPM is a thing you hear from a lot of people who do a lot of just in time and supply chain management stuff. And I know that it's no small undertaking that you have to have a lot of stuff in motion, all working together at the same time.
But this is what Apple does. This is what Apple does better than everybody else.
Not just this is what Apple does. This is what Tim Cook did for so many years under Steve. When Steve was doing the high-level stuff, Tim's whole job was to be the guy that tippy-toed into China and bought 40% of available flash memory being manufactured so that they could debut the first iPad in the first place. So this is not like something that they're unaware of. It's not like Tim Cook had to go take a crash course in supply chain management in order to make any of this happen. If anybody can right this ship, not only can Tim do it, Tim knows how. So all he has to do is make something happen. So I'm having a hard time with this story for those reasons. Because seriously, how is Apple going to let a Christmas go by where all they've got is bigger iPhones, because they're not going to skip out on
and newer iPad Airs.
Well, we're hearing about the Airs, we think, but I'm presuming that both are going to come out this year, because I just don't see a lot of people going and buying a gift card and saying, "Merry Christmas, I got you a gift card so that someday when the Apple Watch comes out, you can have that." I just don't see it happening. And I think people are much more likely to buy somebody an iPad mini for Christmas.
Because it costs less.
Yeah, because like it's a little bit more budget friendly to get a mini than it is to get an Air or a laptop.
Like that form factor too. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not buying that part of it. You know, looking at the my personal belief on most supply chain rumors is that there is a kernel of truth in almost all of them.
Yes,
and it's the conclusions that we draw from those kernels of truth where most folk end up going wrong. And in this particular case, I think it makes a lot more sense that Apple is planning some kind of shift within the supply chain that's going to, you know, where someone else is going to be making some iPad minis later in the year. But that doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to be making them before that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not down with the conclusions of the Commerce Times.
And I'm with you. I think we'll see two new iPads, meaning iPad Air and iPad Mini, this fall in time for the holiday buying season.
There you go.
Okay, so as long as we're on this whole iPad, iPhone sort of thing, Apple has data that's out about their adoption rate for iOS 8, which is a week old now, meaning the adoption – the launch was a week ago. And in that week, Apple says that they now have 46% of iOS device users running iOS 8, which is pretty good. But let's try and make a number like that happen with Android.
Android is, I think, seldom ever had 46% of the platform on any given operating system.
At any point in time.
Yeah, let alone the most recent.
Yeah. No, the one time that they would have had far more than that was for the very initial release, when there simply wasn't any other version.
That's true. It was 100%.
Okay, I'll give it that.
But after that, it became fragmented and has stayed that way. Yeah, so in a week, we've hit 46%. That's actually a little bit behind what happened last year with iOS 7.
And wasn't that like 50 or 60?
It was 50%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think that the case for upgrading to iOS 8 is less stark than iOS 7, because iOS 7 was just such a complete overhaul. You know, everything about iOS 7 was for consumers. You talked about this in your review, Jeff. And a lot of what iOS is about developers. Now, I think that iOS 8 is a much better, it's a big improvement in iOS. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that people have the same, quite the same incentive to flock to it.
Well, and I think the case is still being made because a lot of the things that were shown off at WWDC this year about the coming operating system were how well it works with the new version of macOS, which we don't have a release date for yet.
Yeah, but to be fair, the only people that are really paying attention to things like that are the geeks who, like us, who are going to, and the folks who listen to us, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we are definitely the folks who are more attuned to all these nuances in the first place. And we're all going to upgrade immediately anyway.
True.
So I can't see Susie Consumer sitting back going, you know, I'd really like to upgrade to iOS 8, but golly, Yosemite's just not out yet.
You know, when you put it that way, it does change my perspective on that a little bit. And you know, the whole thing that you said about I talked about the difference between creating the operating system for the users and for the developers.
Mm-hmm.
I even was playing into that initially myself without realizing it, and I was looking at iOS 8 as a consumer, or from a consumer perspective as opposed to a developer perspective. And from strictly a consumer perspective, I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. upgrade or not. But then when we were all talking and Dave Hamilton made a point of saying, well, you know, it's the under the hood stuff. It's the developer stuff. And then I started looking there. I'm like, oh, holy crap. There's a lot of really great stuff happening here. This is a much more significant upgrade than mm-hmm. I was perceiving. And so if I was able to be in that mindset, then I can see where for the general public, it would be very easy to look at iOS 8 as an upgrade where it doesn't really matter because it looks the same and it looks like it does the same thing as iOS 7. I've already got that.
You know what it is? It's the S model of iOS because, you know, you got the 3G, which was a great little phone in its time. And then next you got the 3GS, which looked exactly the same. But if you ask any developer at the time who was working on the hardware, they would freak out. Oh my God, I'm so excited about the 3GS. Because when you're a consumer, you go, well, the 3GS shoots video. That's the only difference. And other people are going, no, do you know about the innards? Like, it has this new chip in it and it does this new thing. And there's this other way that it's managing memory that's just amazing. And people went on and on and loved that phone. And it was the same with the 4 and the 4S was the stuff that you were given access to on the inside was the part that made that a really compelling option for anybody who was looking to upgrade. And I think that this is the same sort of thing. Like with 7, you know, we got the 3G or the 4, you know, that changed the outside. And then with iOS 8, we've got the S model that changed all the insides so that it was something that developers were really excited about.
Right. And then when iOS 9 comes out, then consumers will be all excited again because there'll probably be big shinies for them.
Indeed.
Likely. So what's this business with someone else saying it's only 35%?
Okay, so there are a couple companies that release their own data, Apsi and I just forgot the name of the other company.
Mixpanel.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Mixel, but that's not right. Mixpanel. They track iOS usage and then release their numbers based on that. So I think there's a difference in the numbers because they're both around 35% as opposed to 46%. I think the difference in those percentages probably comes from the way the users are being tallied. So for Apple, they're counting the downloads and installs. And for Apsi and Mixpanel, they're looking at the data that's coming in through apps. So
okay.
So you have developers that become clients of these services, and then they can use the information that's collected through the apps people are using to create their tapestry showing usage percentages. So So they have a subset, a substantial subset of users, but a subset
but usually, you know, the Apple's user base is so large that usually these metrics are pretty close enough. So Google fudges by reporting total Android
activations. Don't they call it activation? Yeah.
Right. So if a phone gets activated twice, that counts as two installations.
Well, yeah. And not only that, Google reports fragmentation based on users who visit Google Play. And that's a subset. It's actually probably, I don't know, but I've always suspected that it's a relatively small subset of total activations. But they allow the two numbers to exist side by side to make it look like 30% of users are at the 30% of all those Android users out there are using some particular version of Android, when in fact it's actually 30% of this small subset. So Apple has never played those games, I don't think.
And I agree with you. As far as I know, they have not played those games.
Like, I don't think that Apple is basing its numbers on visitors to the App Store, for instance.
No, I don't think they are.
Yeah, I think they're counting downloads.
But I also wonder how much of the reduced uptake is in functioning iPhone 4s that are ineligible. You know, are they still being counted as iPhone users even though they can't upgrade to iOS 8? And how many people are reluctant, because we saw a number of articles that said, keep iOS 8 off your 4S, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
True.
I interpret Apple's numbers to mean that they're talking about all iOS users. So that would actually include the iPhone 3GSs and 3s that are still out there, as well as the 4s.
Yeah. Yes. Apple's data, they broke out iOS 8, iOS 7, and then all other versions of iOS.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, so that's and all that the came devices. In at 5%.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it looks like Apple is looking at all devices. And Apsy and Mixel. No, not Mixel.
Mixpanel.
Wow. They have access to a subset of users. And okay. For whatever reason, we now have a wider difference between the adoption rate numbers this year than we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, it's curious. I wonder who's got it wrong. I suspect that it's the outsiders that have it wrong, but I'm not willing to I'm not willing to just give Apple a blank check on this. We just don't know yet.
Right.
And I'm with you. I think Apple is more likely to have the correct numbers, but blind faith is not a prudent way to go through life.
Word.
Word. Hey, and we're out of time.
Word.
So, Brian, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
Always great to have you guys here. And I love your insights.